These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Lauren, whatever you're wearing on your head, I'm sorry. I know it's for Salt Lake, but it really is giving Fiddler
Matchmaker, Matchmaker.
Yes.
I know. I like that too, though.
Yes.
The little theater, the theater child in me. Like, all right, I'll put it on. I'll put it on when we get to the part of this.
We're never going to get to this.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay.
Hold on. I'm itching my eye. Good morning, students. I'm Michelle Baver.
I'm Lauren Davis.
And we have an extra special guest joining us to recap the finale of SLC. He is above the line, you guys, number one on the call sheet. That's right. I'm talking about a producer for The Voice. He has had real life conversations with Carson Daly. Gag. Our guest is Jay Reyna. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. This all is so fun and how this all fell into place. I met you guys randomly visiting a friend at a Bravo Watch thing when I was home for the holidays. And so I had a lot of fun that night. So thank you guys for inviting me. That trivia night was incredible. And aww. I still have my prize right here, my dice.
Yay! Oh my gosh, dice. The accidentally racist dice.
Wait, what was the dice? That was like not one of the gifts that I usually always get like Bravo themed gifts. And
no, this was just like a fun gift. It's like it's like sex dice, but like less sexy. It's more like a Christian like, sex dice.
Yeah, it's like if you don't know what to eat, you roll the dice and it'll tell you like what category of food you should order. And when I first opened it, it just said Mexican. Which so I am. And so I opened it and I was like, wow.
Meet a Mexican.
I was like, this is racially insensitive towards me. So,
could you explain your gag gift? It feels very pointed.
Ethiopian?
Well, I'm really excited.
Yes.
I met you guys in Dallas and it was so much fun. And I'm excited to do this episode, honestly. This is great. I thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, there's a lot to get into with the SLC finale. But can we ask you a couple questions about
Previous work in podcasts? In Bravo podcast specifically.
I didn't realize it when you came to the bar, but it wasn't until I saw your Instagram later. I was like, I recognize this guy. I was a Facebook group a million years ago that was a very famous, very exclusive. If you were in the group, you know about it. If you know, you know. Lauren wasn't in it. It's fine. It was just,
I don't know. I don't know her.
Yeah, I don't know her. It was called Emotionally Broken Psychos. And really, that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, no, that was a... God, that was like, what, like eight, nine years ago.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a friend of mine, Molly McAleer, that was her podcast network. Mm-hmm. And that is how I kind of got into the podcast game as someone who's never had their own podcast. I knew her through the internet. She started this thing and asked me if I wanted to do the social media for it. Like just when episodes are out, keep posting. And I was like, okay, great. It was cool to do that. And through that is how I met and are currently still friends with like Cara Berry, Liz Bentley, Ryan Bailey, like that whole crew of people that came out of that. Like I met them like all those years ago just via the internet while I was living in Austin, Texas, and I would like just they would send me the episodes and I'd make a little like gif of it at the time.
Yeah.
And then when I would post, I would just hit post and the rest is history. And then the Facebook group started and ended as all podcast groups should never have a Facebook group.
Say it, forget it, write it a Facebook group, regret it.
Regret
like,
it forever.
Like, remember when everyone was like, Lan Locken, you're a racist, and they kicked her out of the group, and that was crazy. Brian Moylan was in there, and he was like, I'm getting info for my book. Like, everything crazy, and then it all imploded. In like
At that some point, there was just like 3,000 people in there.
Yeah, it never got like big.
And
like,
I wasn't invited.
I know.
It seems like it's so like the Beat Poets of Bravo, like personalities and podcasters. Like it seems like everyone who's like super, is it loud?
It's loud. Yeah.
I'm turned all the way down.
Is it loud for you too, Jay?
No, not really. I mean,
loud. I just loud women.
It's getting a little screechy.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is you're like the Allen Ginsberg of Bravo podcasts. You were there. Who am I?
He's Allen Ginsberg. Who am I?
You are Woody Allen. No, oh, I couldn't think of another Alan. Sorry. Cut that. Alan Alda.
Soon Lee.
We've gone off the rails 4 minutes in. This is amazing.
Okay, let's get it back on track and then get it off the rails again when we describe insane finale episode.
Speaking of emotionally broken psychos.
Yes.
I mean.
Initial thoughts on SLC reunion.
Reunion or the episode?
Oh, yeah. The finale. Sorry. The finale.
I watched it twice. Once as like the enjoyment watch, and second as a note taking watch. And both times, I was on the edge of my seat, like my fingers just gripping. I was like, "How is there possibly not a script for this Emmy award winning primetime scripted drama?" Slash, just it was insane. I just, because you always think about like every finale that came before, you're always like, "How's that gonna top?" I mean, mm-hmm. we never thought we could top Monica's finale,
right?
But we, I mean, and it doesn't even have to be as like grand as like a reality Von T's reveal, but somehow there's still just like a grandiose ending.
It's
always so insane and so unhinged, and they just did it again. And I was just like, this is incredible. This is women's stories, you know?
Women's stories matter. Yeah.
More women by women, written by women, women supporting women, unlike what mm-hmm, Bethany Frankel mm-hmm. does not do. She does not support other women. it's just, you know.
Yeah, just the idea of like the viral, like first of all, like how compelling artistically it is for them to like do this play that's like based on a Greek tragedy, but it's also kind of kabuki theater because it's like you're watching the audience watch the actors.
Kabuki,
and then it's also
kabuki.
It's also like a burn book, and it's also like it's just, and it's also like a viral meme of like, is this play about us? Like all at the same time.
It's also just so funny. Like it's like mm-hmm. the like Salt Lake City. It's like it's also like it's like I Love Lucy. Like Angie Kay's always doing pratfalls. Like her physical comedy. Like no one's doing it like Angie Kay.
Yeah, let's get into the episode, which kind of starts with Angie post pratfall. She wakes up with a swollen lip from a lip injury. She's really becoming like the new Vicki Gunvalson from Orange County.
Getting hurt on trips.
Every time they get on a go on a trip, she is like eating shit. But honestly, it's like her best bit this season, I think.
Like the blood on the walls that we saw like the last episode. I'm like,
harrowing.
Nobody's doing it like these girls. And like the editing, it's just like, it's mm-hmm. masterpiece. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know like at one point, like a little bit of like the cynical in me was like, is Angie just like doing this for like little camera moments? But then like there's just actual like physical damage to her body. But like, you know what? She's actually running into all of them.
She's
not really getting help for that. Like, I'm like, where are the medics? Like, I mean, like, quick set, like when she had the big flit on her hand from the boat trip, like they were like, she lost a lot of blood, and all we only ever saw the captain coming to check on her for that, giving her ice packs.
Band-aid, she's good.
I love that
SLC work ethic. Keep it moving.
So we see her swollen lip, and Mary says that doesn't look good. Really bad.
She's not afraid to speak the truth.
That's how you know like you're with a good friend, you know, if someone's just like, that looks like shit. You gotta do something about that.
It's the first thing you hear when you wake up with your friends is that you look like dog shit.
And that has happened to me a lot. So.
Same. Yeah. Mostly with Michelle, because she's such a good friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm, okay, so then while this is happening, they're getting ready for the playwright to come, and the playwright is interviewing the ladies about each other to mine material for the play that they will later watch.
Yeah, I think this is what David Mamet does, too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a process.
I was like, I need Stella's handwritten book in my hand. Oh, I have to flip through those pages.
I want to see, like, I just need to see, like, the unedited footage of, like how long she was with all of the different women. And
it's like a whole extra day they didn't air. It was just 8 hours of interviews.
Yeah, just like what they have to cut. You know, it's like,
yeah.
See, I'm so cynical. This is like, you know, and you're a producer, so you can probably tell me if I'm being overly cynical. But I imagine on the book, it's just, she's just drawing like pictures of dicks or whatever. And the producers are telling her what to write.
I was also thinking that. Yeah. I was also like, half of me was like, I need that book. I need to see what she wrote. And the second half was like, she's not writing shit in there.
Yeah. Drawing dicks like Jonah Hill and Superbad.
That's the duality of Salt Lake City, though, is it's playing with the wall.
Yeah, but
So everyone notices Meredith is uncharacteristically chill
She's making cafe.
She's lucid. She has she's forming sentences.
They're like, is that a cappuccino? And she's like, yeah, I made it. You want one? And Bronwyn's like, Meredith, the barista. Like, you know, it's like that. It's like that friend is like, you're not supposed to be being nice to me. Like, if I was nice to you, Warren, you'd be like,
what's wrong?
Yeah, there's a chill in the air. There's a chill in the air. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, or if you were calm, I think that's a lot. It's like, wait a minute, she's like calm.
I'm like, everything's going to be okay.
Steady, hands steady. Like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, this really freaks Bronwyn out, especially because she says that Meredith was very upset the night before.
A few hours before, right? She says she was getting texts from her at like 1:30 in the morning, paranoid.
Yeah, she was like, I just saw you 6 hours ago and you're not that person.
summoning me to your bedroom early this morning saying everybody's against me. So weird, you're making everyone cappuccinos, like, lovely day. Good morning,
girl. I think that's a little weird.
Yeah. She asked Mary about it, and she says that she told Meredith a little bit about what was discussed at lunch, because Meredith was just, like, interrogating her, pumping her for the goods. Mary, Whitney, and Bronwyn were talking about Meredith's erratic behaviors, and they were talking about Whitney's dad, his, like, drug and alcohol abuse, and then Bronwyn also dropped the bombshell of seeing Seth with another woman. Mm-hmm. Bronwyn's like, but I didn't, like, you know, spill the beans too much or whatever. I don't feel like I should keep protecting her. She's just using me for information. And Mary's like, just tell her. Like,
yeah. Just tell her. Yeah.
So who do we believe, like, what do we think really went down, I guess, during this? Because she's got the receipts of the texts.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's weird because kind of the whole Greece trip, it's like, you're easily believing everybody.
Yeah.
What they're saying about Meredith. And then this one episode, you're like, wait, is everyone being kind of insane about something that's not that big of a deal?
You know?
And I like that, like, layer that got kind of lifted, because I was like, wait, am I on the wrong side?
Am I on the wrong side of herstory?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I kind of, like, really liked about it, too. In terms of, like, you can't write it. Like, the tonal shift that happens, like, for the viewer on this was so crazy. So I was like, wait a sec. They sound insane. They sound like they're...
They sound crazy, but then something so silly happens, like, so quickly, too. It's like, I always feel like SLC reminds me of, like, old school Roni, where it's like there's just something really heavy and serious will happen, and then something's really silly. Like, you know, all this stuff is happening with Meredith, and everyone's like, I'm concerned. Like, now we're really concerned about, like, she's acting even weirder than before. And then it's like, you know, Angie K's like, let's go meet my cousin, Mika. He's brothers with my dad, and it's like, that's an uncle.
and then falls down the stairs. And there's another pratfall.
She's like wearing stilettos.
Yeah, asking for it at this point. Yeah, I really like that. That interpretation, Jay, really makes me like the finale more. And, like, I think you even kind of see that flip in the conversation, where it's like, you, like, me and our guest last night at Watch What Happens Live, Oliver Sims, when we were watching the scene with Bronwyn and Mary, we were like, oh my gosh, Bronwyn, we got receipts, Mary is lying 100%. And then at the end, Mary says to Bronwyn in a withering way, No, like, I'm on your side. You're so loyal. I mean, look at you with Todd.
Ooh.
And the bar is like, oh!
Dude, when like, Mary clocks you.
Yeah. And it's like, Bronwyn has skeletons, too.
Yeah,
you know?
And skeleton costume. She's got it all.
A skeleton ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's
wait, so real quick, how was the viewing party last night?
Oh my god, it was very packed.
It was so fun.
Yeah, I think
that's cool. I'm glad I met you guys at that. Even though I showed up on a night where Salt Lake City didn't air, which is
my god, but we watched the classic VPR episode. Engagement party is like so.
No, that was probably a highlight of my trip back to Texas because that was just so, and that was like something that I was like looking
at a bar,
forward to.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that's why we wanted to make, because it's like, you know, it's something we would go to, and we never felt like that about stand up when we did stand up. But like, yeah, watching.
Yeah, and it was all because of my friend Stefan G. Yeah.
Stefan, we love Stefan.
Great, have him back.
I met him in 2008 in college, and then we just kind of have been friends since. And so when I was in town visiting, he was like, "Hey, come to this thing. I'm gonna be here." And I was like, "That sounds so fun."
Yeah, he
and
did.
So now, and then new friendships were made.
Yeah,
so funny. Yeah,
Jax does Jax's talk with Faith, which
yes, Jax's
really cute.
Yeah, and vote for Stefan for Comedian of the Year and Improviser the Year, the Dallas Entertainment Awards, the DEA.
The DEA.
Okay, so back to the episode. Yeah, we as you guys said, Angie rounds everyone up and
get in the Sprinter van.
Bronwyn confronts Meredith about what happened and is like, you kept me up late, you wanted to know what's going on at the lunch. And Meredith says, no, you needed comforting because you were nervous about the play.
Yeah,
see, even that I was just like,
I don't know about that. Yeah.
This is the only thing that has bothered me this season with SLC, because it's mostly perfection, is the discussions about something that we don't see as a viewer, especially when it comes to all this stuff with Meredith. I'm like, nobody can put on their phone, you know, like the conversation she has with Meredith at 1 a.m. or the airplane incident. It's like,
why are they not recording? It's so unlike them.
Why are they not recording? Yeah.
Oh,
like it.
Maybe it's because they're scared, because last season the big finale of like everyone screeching at Britney for secretly recording.
You're recording us.
Yeah.
You can leave. Yeah,
you can leave. But it was like, you know, but the cameras were on for that. Why weren't, you know, I don't know. I still don't, it's odd to me that we talk
it
about
is odd.
This that we've never seen as a viewer, you know.
It's been compared a lot to the Kathy Hilton, you know, Beverly Hills thing, but it kind of reminds me more.
She did say
of, it. Yeah, no, and she yeah. did say. Oh, absolutely. She said
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me more of Denise Richards, where like the women haranguing her and being so like homophobic and so cruel made them the bad guys. But I do think that part of it was a concern for the show that she would have conversations only off camera and refuse to do anything on camera. Now, the way that they chose to litigate that was like really gross hill to die on of like outing her. But like, I think the underlying thing is maybe the same here, where it's like, Meredith, you can't like only talk about real stuff off camera and then like come on camera and just like deny it happens.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I kind of think she can. She's so funny.
Yeah. I guess we'll get into it because it becomes a bigger, we're still talking about it well into this finale, but you know, Meredith and her alleged drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But when her most famous line from the whole of all of SLC is "the rumbles in the nest in his husband's," like none of us thought, like, you know, she's going to church every day. And
Yeah. Okay. So then Angie's cousin tells the story about her family coming to America.
Working in the salt mines. Salt Lake City, yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And the Greek Civil War, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was that one.
That view at that dinner table was incredible.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
I rewatched the scene because I didn't hear it. Cause I was just like looking at Mamma Mia.
Yes, every frame a painting.
Like, yeah. It was Mamma Mia, but even more gay. Yeah.
Somehow, yes. Somehow, yes.
And I was obsessed. I was like, it's so beautiful. And also just, I love like Angie talking to her uncle he's her cousin, uncle, and uncle. Yeah, her cousin, uncle. But like Lisa was so like vibrant and fun during this like lunch too. And there
she
like,
was. Heather, I was really like, living
her and
her
Heather were like giving him hugs and like taking pictures with him. And then Meredith is just scowling across the table.
Yeah.
He's like, my grandfather was born in 1890 in Meredith.
It's so funny because it's two things like happened to me when I saw it. It was like I eye rolled and I was like, come on, like you're at like a thing.
Yeah.
But then this I have been that person at a group dinner site. Yeah. Where I was just like, ugh, I can't get mad at you because I have done this at an inappropriate dinner table.
You know, her uncle cousin was so sweet. He seemed so nice. I liked him.
I could hear him talk for hours just drinking like wine on like a Santorini, like mountaintop restaurant. Beautiful. Come on.
Yeah. Just watching his relative fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
As he's laughing, holding the glass of wine.
What a view. Yeah,
like, Opa! Opa! And then, you know, also, I will say also during the scene, it was also just compelling to have Angie talk to him about her mom, who we know she didn't have like much of a relationship with. And she's like, but I don't know much about them or where they're from. And I haven't been to where she grew up. My mom grew up. But like, this is my family and this is my connection. And so, you know, we always saw Angie before, like always talking about like, I'm Greek. And, you know, even when they went to Milwaukee, she wanted to see like the Greek freak, like a basketball player. But, you know, that part was very like, it was very like sweet. I felt like in that moment, just to hear him talk about her family. And I liked it. It was nice.
A deeper justification for like, you know.
This is my country. You know, it's different than with like the episode before where they're getting kicked out. And
oh
she's
my goodness.
Like, no, this is my country.
I'm Greek. No, you don't understand.
My country, sir.
I'm Greek.
No, I can do this actually. I'm Greek.
My country, sir.
He's like, no, get the fuck out of the restaurant.
He's like, oh, thank God.
This is my country, sir. She didn't even tell him that in Greek. She told him in English.
No. No, sweetie.
That scene was so funny because I've never seen, because there's not used to, I've never seen people not realize they're being kicked out.
Yes.
Just like, I was like, get up, you're out.
No, we never see it on Housewives, and usually it's like, you know, you kind of, when a restaurant agrees to have you, you know what you're getting. And also I'm like, it's Europe, like they eat really late, like dinners go long. Yeah. And they were still like, please go away now.
Like you need to
I mean, maybe it has to do with, well, yeah, Jay, you would know about this. Maybe it has to do with like the space, and like usually they have the space like all day when they've like when they're shooting there, but maybe like here and like they're more willing to go over and stuff, but here they're like, no, we gotta go to bed. We don't want to wait around.
3 a.m. Finish your dinner.
Yeah. Incredible! What an incredible trip.
Yeah.
So we get back to the Sprinter van where Mare is still being very passive aggressive, and that's why I'm like, don't make her be aggressive because she's so funny at being passive aggressive.
So funny, yeah. They're like, it's literally quiet in here. Is Meredith in here? And she's like,
and then she mumbles to herself,
"I'm here.
Why I'm here?
I don't know why I'm here." That's an attainment, baby.
And then they relitigate the fight again. Bronwyn's like, you are pumping me for information. Meredith says no. And Bronwyn's like, how much do I have to bleed out for you?
And Angie's like, I love you, bleed. DNA's on the walls.
All over Greece.
This is my country, sir.
That really is becoming a new Housewives thing. It was big on OC this season, too. Like, what do you want me to do? Bleed. It's like the new Housewives catchphrase. I love it. It's so like your mom making you feel guilty. I'm bleeding for you.
I only have two hands.
I gave birth to you with your giant head. Is that just my mom?
I think You unpacked a little.
Okay. Sorry. I'll pack it in, pack it in.
Please.
Jason, cut that stuff about Lauren.
No one cares. Okay, but well, now I'm putting on my giant head. Scarf for our audio listeners.
Heather said my giant head. She couldn't put her scarf on.
She is a bucket head like me. We have bucket head.
Gorgeous.
Oh my god.
This is gorgeous. Like
it's like Mars attacks, I feel like. So the girls are about to feel attacked too, because they are going to the amphitheater to watch the play Sisters of Salt.
This was amazing. So like, good. Even before the play started, just when they walk in, it's night. There's candlelight everywhere. There's a spread of like amazing Greek food, and they're all like, "Oh my god, look at this! This is our dinner. Oh my god, amazing!" And Brittany's like, "Do we serve ourselves?"
No, that's kind of very much a me move. I'm like, this is great, but like
if somebody we serve ourselves, and she's like, "Well, I guess I'll just drink this wine." She's like, "I don't know how to open it." She's like, "Oh, it's a screw top." Just even that, I was like, "This is the Downton Abbey could never."
Okay,
Brittany really delights in her vacancy,
I love to watch this. She really is
just living in her own head.
And I love that.
Just thinking out loud. Yes. Oh, it's a screw top. Are we serving her?
No one
is acknowledging her saying any of this.
No, they're just letting her figure. They're watching her try to piece things together. Like, they're like, "I'll put food on my plate myself and see if it catches on." You just see all of the women have like glasses of wine already filled. And Brittany's like, she's alone still at the table. You notice
they're gathered at the table, like whispering, like, "Look, she's still over there."
And she's like still holding the bottle of wine. Oh,
she's a tactile kinesthetic learner. Mm-hmm. So she's got to be.
She's got to bite, but yeah, hands yeah. on. Yeah. yeah. And they understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, a narrator comes to the podium, a beautiful narrator, she opens the Burn Book play, and, seven women come out, each one in a colorful scarf and hair or wig that matches another, one of the women in the audience. And we hear that gossip grows like a mold in the family. And then basically they're just called out one by one. And like the woman who is their doppelganger steps forward as they are berated by the narrator. So,
oh my god, the opening of this play, the opening starting with Lisa, you know, one of the eldest of the group, one of the eldest.
Yes.
So I mean, I was like, oh my god, we are like, and when we were at the bar watching this live, like everybody in the room gasped.
I wish I was there. I can't even imagine the energy.
The shot of Lisa. She was like a Meredith face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was preparing for such a treat.
And then
she also says
she uses her wealth as a shield and speaks to everyone as if they are below her. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame she's not capable of apologizing.
It's the only thing she can't buy or something, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it an apology?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of like roast jokes. Like,
yeah. But... It was like, yeah, I felt like at any minute Jeff Ross was going to walk out.
God.
Nikki Glaser comes out in like a sparkly dress.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I feel like she wrote on this episode. Like, I can hear her.
She's just credited writer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Heather gets called out for being the deflector, a joke wrapped in mascara, which I don't know what that means.
I liked it.
I was thinking that was like the most savage one.
Is it just like all she offers is jokes and mascara, or like she is a joke to others?
I think she's a joke.
She wears mascara.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, you're no CoverGirl Lash.
Mm-hmm. I was like Maybelline
girl.
There's
a lot of like Maybelline references this episode too. Did you notice that? Like even when we started the episode with Bronwyn when talking about Meredith being nice, she's like, "Who does she think she is, a cover girl for Maybelline?"
Okay, now I think that the reason for the line, they got a sponsorship. This is like a tie-in.
Yeah.
A joke wrapped in Maybelline's Grand Lash mascara. And then, but what really gets her is that they're like, behind every joke is a shadow. And it's like, her face is like, behind every joke, and it's like, is a shadow. And she's like,
oh, those lashes dropped.
The lashes dropped.
Fell right off.
It's like, she has to laugh to keep from crying.
Mm-hmm. But she Pagliacci. Never cries. She never cries. We find out. Cries. She doesn't cry. She's not real. Mm-hmm. And then while they're doing this, like while all these like savage things are being like said during the play, then we're getting flashbacks to the women talking to the playwright of the things that they were saying about the other, like the other woman. Like, it was just like brilliant editing the way that they did all of the juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm. I love that the flashback scenes of them, because every single woman on this cast takes such delight in talking shit, and it's incredible to watch.
Yes, they're so eager.
They're happy
they're
to talk about it.
They're so happy to do it. They're
especially
so
to like a stranger too. Yes. Like, oh, you don't.
Yeah, a woman they've never met.
Oh, let me tell you about her. Yeah.
Oh yeah. She rents horses.
Yes. So Bronwyn gets called no-faced.
Oh, I love, you're not
that's
two-faced.
A really good burn from Lisa.
You're no-faced. I was like, oh, the woman without a face.
Yes. The sequel to Mel Gibson's Man Without a Face.
Yes.
Long awaited.
Or Face Off with Nick Cage.
And then Bronwyn, I think she's really shook, because I do think hers is one of the, a very accurate one that hasn't really been called out enough on the show, where it's it says Bronwyn treats loyalty like a party favor and collects secrets like trinkets, and that's why she's alone. Ugh. Which is like, you know, kind of, I feel like a caution. I love Bronwyn, but it's like, I feel like she hasn't bonded with, she's just like fighting to stay afloat. And so it's like, she hasn't bonded with anyone yet.
Yeah. It's crazy to watch this too. Like the camera like panning to everybody's reactions, like the whole time only one person is like smiling. And it's Mary the whole time. Somebody like,
this is like Mary's favorite comedy.
Yes. And she was expecting to hate it, and she's like, ooh,
when they get there, she's like, I don't want to be here. I don't like this. I don't think this is fun.
I don't blame her.
She's like, why did I waste an outfit?
It was very spooky. It was very on a rail.
Spooky. I don't like this. You know? Yeah.
Maybe she was expecting it to have some kind of occult bent. And then when it didn't happen, she was like so relieved.
I'm locked in. This is so funny.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone else, I kind of feel like got off easy. So then I think those were like the really visceral ones. Yeah, Angie got like, she has a smart mouth. Her tongue is daggers.
But man, did I love flashing back to that wine tasting scene where she's at the table being like, pull your ears back high, you know, for your facelift. Like, God, that was such a great episode. I love seeing like a flash of that episode.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I do think, Nikki Glaser might be one of Angie's writers, because Angie really does have the roast.
They have some. They're definitely union, the writers.
They're definitely union.
Brittany, like, I don't think there's anything they could even say to Brittany that the cast hasn't already said to her, so it just kind of like
flies up.
You're right.
You know, that she's enjoying, because she finally figured out how to open it. Mm-hmm. And then, it's like your brain is mush and your kids don't speak to you. And she's like,
okay. She's like, her brain is just going like, how do I get up there and sing a song?
How do I sing the Pony Club?
How do I circle it back to Mistletoes?
Yeah, greatest movie ever.
It was so nice of them to throw her a bone on Mistletoe.
I know.
I did the Leo meme. When they showed it, I was like,
going back to the episode before, we can cut this, but I just loved when Heather was like, you know, Brittany's probably one of the more successful of us. She's been on Broadway, and the way that made everybody at the table want to crawl out.
I still think the great, like, true. The most, like pissed off they all have been was that one comment.
Yes.
That threw the whole group off for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was, you know, everybody's now just talking about their resumes. It's crazy. Yeah. I loved it so much.
Just, I mean, like the Bronwyn, like, can you explain what you just said, Heather?
Yeah, and Lisa's like, I have these three jobs. And Meredith's like, I went to law.
Like, they're just like shaking and just like this. And this. Amazing work. They give us so much. They give us so much.
They do. They really do.
Yeah, that's unreal.
So then to finish up the play, Mary really gets off easy. I feel like the producers are scared of her. They're like, Mary, sometimes your words hurt people's feelings. Next, Whitney.
Whitney, you're just hot, but you're dumb.
Yeah, and I don't think that's true at all. I mean, I guess it's like they're going off like of what body Lisa with said. No brain.
Oh, yeah. She's like a body with no brain.
Lisa called her a loose woman.
She called her like a loose woman in Greek, which is, she's like, Whitney? Putana.
Putana, yeah. Italian queen. And then like that no one listens to Whitney and she needs to speak up more. I'm like, I don't agree with any of this.
And they flash back to Whitney speaking up and yelling at everyone to just listen to her. No one would.
Yeah.
She's yelling in everybody's face and they won't do anything.
I get like defensive of like when like it's like, Whitney, you have a high voice that sounds like and like a thick Salt Lake City accent and your voice sounds a little bit like a baby. So why should we ever take you seriously or consider you smart or consider your work as a housewife? I'm like,
she's a little girl.
Yeah.
Just because she's, you know.
Little girl.
Also the youngest. She's also, like, I think the youngest one on the cast, too.
Yes, it's
not. So I think that also works against her.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think she's producing behind the scenes just as hard as
I've liked her. I've liked her this season. I mean, I do feel like of all of the franchises, like, Salt Lake City really works as, like, a ensemble. Like, they really also, they're a great ensemble. Like, really, like, it's just, no. It's just perfect. They work so well together, all of them.
Yeah, and it's they are also just from this last season to this season, like, zero cast changes, right? If I'm remembering off the top of my head.
It's I don't think so.
There's
they had a couple friends of, like, that kind of, that they had.
I guess, like, Bronwyn was new last year.
But
there wasn't anyone else for this one. They locked that in, which I think was great.
I think there was a friend of audition both seasons. There was like a friend of.
Remember, there was that other Angie one season, and then
Just the past two seasons.
Oh, okay.
So they had a friend of last season named like Mia or something, and then they had a friend of this season who they had the big luncheon in the glass.
Oh, house. Amy Utah Socialite.
Amy Utah Socialite, but neither of them made the cut. Didn't get in the mix enough.
I didn't have a brunch where everyone was wearing ball gowns. I liked that brunch.
Yeah.
Where Jared
made her house a friend of.
Yeah. Her house could be a friend of. The fact that they keep Brittany a friend of, it's so funny.
It's what keeps her working. You know?
It is.
It's like, you know, Miami does this with Marisol and Adriana. Like,
I always wonder about that specifically because it's just year after year.
I know. Mm-hmm. There must be a reason for it. And I don't, it's working. So don't fuck it up.
They might make more by the scene now with how long they've been cast member. Like, because I wonder if friend of is the same as like regular where like your pay is increased every year. So it's like, it might, because like they are in so many scenes, it might end up being like.
I learned from Sheena Shea's book. It's actually, it is by the number of scenes you're in when you're a friend of. And when you're main cast, you are just like, they're like, this is your salary.
Yeah. Right. I'm just curious if it's like, if you're a friend of for multiple years, does your scene, the amount you're getting for each scene get bumped?
Maybe. It's like, you know how like Melrose Place kept Heather Locklear always listed as a guest star?
Yeah. Iconic.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay, we'll look into it.
We'll look into it for everyone else also wondering.
Okay, so Meredith, then we get to Meredith, who, again, we've been haranguing on her so much. It kind of, I feel like...
well, here's another intervention.
Yeah, I love keeping her for last, because it's like, this is the one who we're all mad at. So she twists language to hide blame and hides behind semantics, which I think is, you know.
Yeah, that's probably
absolutely
true.
Yeah.
And she does it so well because, like, when she's like, I said, I didn't say that. I said a version of this that you might have interpreted as that. Mm-hmm. By the time that sentence is over, you're like
wait, what? I did do it wrong. Yeah. And she's like, I was in the bathtub when I said it. You must have not heard me over the bubbles.
Yeah. She's so good at, like, legalese.
Yeah.
Like,
and even just watching her, like, deliver something, because she's always, like,
sideways. She hypnotizes. She glamours.
Yeah.
You,
she's,
you know?
like Rasputin or something. You're just, like, you're mesmerized.
Mm-hmm. I want her to do it to me.
I do, too.
So then the conclusion, all the actor ladies fall on the ground motionless.
And the narrator, they drink poison, and that's just part of the play. They drink poison, then their bodies start to convulse.
So, someone vomits. Someone, like, gets into it and just vomits everywhere.
I loved it.
And then the narrator warns, and if they don't mend their fights, they will die. Like, I love the drama of it.
But they'll be okay because they're all sisters. And it's supposed to be like, and then it's just like silent and everyone's like, shock. And they're like, oh, okay.
Brittany's like, if I die in the play, do I die in real life?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's just like everyone dies and then it's just silent. And they're like, I guess we
clap.
Is this over?
Yeah, they like look at Angie like, is this like customary in Greece?
They really needed the end.
Like, yeah.
So that, I wrote that I want this to be a movie, like it's like a feature length film.
Like, I want a behind the scenes.
Yeah, and so I wanted then to be there to be a musical of it as well. So I wrote it should be called Sisters of Salt, the movie, the musical.
Yeah,
starring Hannibal.
Brittany Bateman. Brittany Bateman.
Yes,
she plays Brittany all the roles.
Yes, yeah, she's like, I got it.
Yeah, it's like her Nutty Professor, but musical.
Oh my God, yes. I would love that. Like a dinner scene where she plays everybody. Oh, and the whole dinner is everybody yelling at Brittany.
Wait, you have to cut this. Someone's going to steal it. She's going to do it.
She's going to do it, just like she trademarked high body count hair. Exactly.
Yeah, she's a hustler.
She's a hustler. I love her.
I'm so glad you also were like, this so lends itself to a musical, because I said that last night at the show and everyone was like, what are you talking about? But you have the vision.
Yeah, and in fact, I did in fact sing a song.
That's higher level thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
Okay, so then Heather is like, guys, let's just, she's so drunk at this point. She's like, let's just give up the game and be real.
Yeah.
And then Bronwyn is like, I'm upset because the play was true. And I think we all need to admit that. Mm-hmm. I don't give loyalty and I don't get loyalty. And Todd cheated on me.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. Todd's weird. He farts on people he's cheating on you with.
And kind of everyone ignores that.
Yeah. And then that's why she's like, okay, Meredith. Because everyone's like, when she's like, Todd cheated on me, they're like, and she's okay, Meredith, we were talking about you at lunch.
Yes.
I know. It was almost all so nice. It was like, I was fooled for about 30 seconds. Like, you know what? I think everyone's being like open and vulnerable. Lisa was crying. Like, I think we're going to have like a come together moment. And then 45 seconds later happened.
Yeah.
When Whitney's like, you know, she's like, and the reason I look at me, Meredith, and you think she's just like, I love you and you're my friend and this is why I'm concerned. She's like, the reason I call you, like looking at the camera, a pill popper and an alcohol.
Yeah.
I was like, no, backwards. That's backwards. Yeah.
But it happens like even before, Lisa and Angie are making up, like, it's like, and Meredith even is like being vulnerable and she's her like face is like trying to emote, and she's like, I don't open up because I'm afraid of being betrayed. And then Heather jumps in and is like, why did you use Bronwyn for information?
Oh god, we were so close. I think like even me like thinking about like the producers in the back, like, you guys, I think we're gonna have like a happy ending this time. And as soon as Heather opened her mouth, I was like, god damn it, Jesus.
And then Meredith's like, I think I'll just leave.
I will leave. She makes a really good point. You're like, your sympathies flip when she says, well, I don't open up because every time I try, you guys yell at me. And yeah, like, we just saw it happen. We're like, yeah, maybe it's like, she just takes a long time to get to a point, and you guys really need to set out like 5 hours for her to be vulnerable. And it'll take like several paragraphs of disclaimers to get there, you know?
Yeah.
And then Mary is like, why do we even do this? Why do we even hang out if we aren't friends? Are we going to intervene and tell Meredith she's like has a problem or not? Yeah. Like Meredith really, Mary thought tonight was an intervention.
Yeah, she's upset the whole time, except when people are talking shit about, you know, when everyone's like getting clocks by the playwright, like by the play. And then she's like, when it's over, she's like, oh God, what? Are we going to do an intervention here? I hate this. I
feel like she wanted it to be. I wonder if there were plans for an intervention that some women back then. She's like,
honestly, I think because she was so angered by it. So I do think that there was like maybe an off camera thing where
we'll
talk about it. And then so when it didn't happen and she walked away,
like an on camera intervention,
someone was gonna say it.
She doesn't like to do that on camera.
I kind of feel like Bronwyn might have botched it a little bit, where she was like, you know, they start going there, Heather and Whitney and like Mary, and Mary's like, it's just because we're concerned for you.
Yeah.
And the Bronwyn is like, and maybe it's because you like are having problems with Seth. Maybe it's because I saw Seth with another woman.
I hated that.
And then it doesn't like, become about that anymore. And then it's just like too much stuff, you know? Like,
As soon as she said that, I was like, no, there we go. Even more backwards. We were almost
We're almost done.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But whenever Meredith walks away and Mary's yelling, like, what are we doing? And then just she comes back into frame.
Right back immediately. Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, I have
a question.
I've had time to reflect because I choose my words very carefully.
And I heard everything because I was only 10 feet away.
There
was so much like, we can hear you. And it's like, well, I know, well, I'm 5 feet away from, I know you can hear
me. And I'm so nice. And she only walked far enough for like there to be like a shot of her like amazing skirt and legs. And then just like came back into frame. And she's like, I heard everything.
And she comes back. And this is what makes me think maybe she's like ferreting out if there was an intervention plan. She's like, what's the goal? Like, what do you guys have plans? And Barry is like, we think you're spiraling. That's what we talked about at lunch. Your behavior is alarming. And and then we get, you know, it just goes into a pylon again.
I don't know what they want to do with Meredith. I don't know.
One time in high school, we had an intervention for my friend because she was just being so mean, and we planned it all. It was going to be on Festivus, and then when we all sat down, we all chickened out, and then we all ripped on each other instead because we were so scared of her being.
Why was it on Festivus? Was it a Festivus themed intervention?
It's the airing of the grievances.
That it was like themed that way is probably kind of the. Was that my intervention?
No, it was in high school.
It was fun.
No, I love that you just turned it on yourselves in the end.
Yes. We were like, you know what's wrong with me? And
you know what? Bad friend.
You know what? Now that you mention it, you are. I've noticed something as well.
Yeah, maybe they should do a Festivus themed intervention for Meredith. It'd be very on brand for this cast.
I mean, they basically like this finale basically was that, and it was the same as kind of last season, but repackaged in such a fun, creative way as like the reading of the texts. Mm-hmm. The play was like the, you know, the theatrical airing of the grievances.
Yeah, they will never do this on Beverly Hills.
They never.
They can't. Mm-hmm. They just can't. Yeah.
Sad. So then, yeah, Meredith walks away. Heather brings her back, and Meredith is like, I love this monologue where she's like, I don't drink that much. I take no pills. I'm a mother. I'm a businesswoman. I'm a model citizen. I go to jury duty. I hydrate. Like, I take fish oil capsules. Just like all of her, like,
I recently bought mitzvah. I just became a woman in the Jewish culture.
And then Bronwyn is like, you know, I was worried about you, but if you can't be a good friend, then get out. like, what?
Great movie.
Yeah. and then Lisa and Meredith kind of like do a little huddle. There was a lot of huddling in this episode.
There's a lot of huddling.
There's just also so many shots of Brittany not saying anything, and they just keep showing her.
She's just having a great time.
Yeah, she has no idea what's happening. Yeah, she's like, a unicorn.
and Lisa's like, this is so toxic. This is so gross. Which, like, at this point, it does really seem like that. I feel like
this is when it started like getting intense, and it did feel like it turned into a pile-on without anyone saying anything really constructive.
Yeah, right.
This is when, like, I noticed like the tonal shift. I was like, oh wait, I think everyone else is being kind of insane about this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like there was a plan that fell apart, and I don't know if it was intervention, or I don't know if it was like just gonna be like the push, like a push to make up with Meredith, or
Because even we were talking about this when we were watching it last night, Lauren, because you were like, what's the goal? This is not how this episode's going to end, right? This would be like a really bizarre choice
Why are they just pushing her to admit something here in the final hour? Because it's like, you know, she's not going to. So it feels like a plan went wrong here.
It's weird. I didn't understand that choice, but.
Mm-hmm. So then, Lisa is upset that Bronwyn brought up that she saw Seth in New York with another woman, because, not only did that, like, escalate things so much, she's also like, well, do you know who the other woman was? Do you know what was happening? Like, do you know anything? And Bronwyn's like, I don't. And so she's like, don't say it. Yeah. If you're not going to if you're going to be so vague, mm-hmm. then like that you can back away from it, then you have to like be like, and they kissed or whatever, if that's what you saw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. Okay. So I heard about who it was. Oliver told me, because he said that he found out. Seth said it was an investor. He was with an investor, but I don't know. Investor for what?
For what?
Big Lots? A Big Lots?
I know. The business that has gone completely under. Yeah, what does he do now? I'm friends with him on LinkedIn. Let me see.
Oh, lucky.
My husband's friends with Vicky Gunvalson. Well, my husband's friends with Vicky Gunvalson LinkedIn, because he does recruiting for like life insurance companies. And he said Kodo really is like very big in the industry.
Amazing. I love that.
She's a hustler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, it's so lame if it is just an investor, or if it was like clearly more than that, then it's like, Ron, you gotta, if you're gonna make the finale all about this, you gotta be like, I saw her grab her or whatever.
Receipts proof timeline, you know?
Exactly.
Once famously said.
We need reality Von T's on the case, driving by the house, drinking a soda or whatever she is doing. Drinking a dirty soda.
And then, so Lisa and Meredith are huddled, comforting each other, and Heather's like, and then Heather again is like, oh, no, you guys are within earshot. We can hear you shit talking us. And then, Lisa's like, what you're doing is wrong. And then Heather is like, she kind of threatens them. I feel like from her producer chair, she's like, I wonder how far you can get just the two of you.
Whoa.
I don't know. Yeah. Do you guys feel like that was a threat? A little
kind
bit.
Of, well, yeah. 'Cause she was very much like, we're over here and you're over there.
Yeah.
And basically, like, she was basically like, choose or not, or, you know what I mean? Or get out. And I think she really meant that, like, with the show, not just in that scene. Yeah.
It was almost like Kelly Ben Simone, like, I'm up here.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
I
Heather wishes she was Kelly Ben Simone.
I'll be so lucky.
I am like, this like really makes me, if the rumors are true that like they were deciding between bringing back Whitney or Meredith as friend of. And then after the reunion, where like Meredith doesn't kiss the ring to Heather, they said, okay, Meredith will be the friend of. And then Meredith said no and was like walking away. That honestly, as fun of a season and like awesome and of a finale and everything as this was, that really worries me for the future of the show.
About yeah. Meredith leaving? No.
If it's like becoming kind of a majority alliance and you know, we kicked out Monica, we're kicking out Meredith, we kick out anyone who, I know it's in the effort of like making a good TV show, but we kick out anyone who we don't think is making good TV with us,
yeah,
like to protect us. That just makes, it just makes me a little worried.
Well, you know, because you know, that's yeah. what Andy said the other day. He said that's why Monica was let go, because all of the women talked to him at BravoCon and they were just like, we're not going to do anything with her. Like,
they iced her out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they were like, I guess we are going to have to fire her. You know,
you need an opposition, you know, to yeah. keep a show interesting.
I would have just kept her mom, LD Millionaire.
Oh, love. Well, actually hate LD Millionaire, but love to watch her. She's a monster.
LD. Oh my God, LD. I hope she's doing terribly, but I miss her.
Letting her daughter sometimes drive a car.
Yeah, fighting over that Range Rover. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What with your producer hat? What do you see for the? What do you think you could see for the future of the show, Jay?
Am I
too worried?
No, honestly, no. I really want to see like the reunion, how that ends, but
mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I do think that the you should strike while the iron is hot, and that meaning it's so successful. I do think a cast shakeup would like really spice things up, mm-hmm. because, like I said earlier, this was the same cast as pretty much last season, and mm-hmm. you could do just another copy paste, and I think it would be great. But I think it's now like we're gonna keep going, and if it's gonna keep being successful, the next step should be like unpredictable and maybe cut more than one person and maybe add a couple of new people.
They need like a Tinsley type. I feel you know like Roni like was so good, and then it was like then we added Tinsley. She really didn't have a relationship with anybody on the cast,
but now feels like an OG cast member because it's just like the work she gave us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So fucking miserable.
I agree that a shakeup is like is good for sure, so we don't get too locked in. But it just scares me that it's the women choosing and not the producers.
I think I do think they have a little bit of power that they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because everyone loves SLC so much.
And they know that, and that's kind of dangerous. That.
Yeah.
So I say that that's what's needed, but like a lot of times I just feel like what's needed Bravo doesn't do.
Yeah.
As far as like casting goes,
I really like this cast. Like I like it so much that I'm scared to change it because I don't want it to stop being good, which might sound weird too, but I do think that Meredith probably does need to be a friend of right
she's
now.
She's better as a friend of. Yeah. I mean,
because also when you're a friend of, they're just not going to.
You don't have to do a personal storyline.
Get into your life that much,
yeah.
right?
It seems like this season was about, like, is she willing to do a personal storyline or interpersonal with another woman? And the answer is, like, no.
No. You know, and it's like, you know, we look at Brittany, and I feel like we did a lot more of her personal life, and but for her, it just wasn't even registering. You remember that episode where she was, like, stroking a cactus?
Mm-hmm.
while Whitney's like, I need you to listen to me. If your daughter's trying to have a relationship with you, this is great news. This is big news. Like, from a mother to a mother, like, you need to protect that relationship.
The first time I've seen, like, another adult go to, like snap her face. Are you listening to me? It's just us in this room. Who are you?
Like, I don't even know. Like, I feel like if you didn't know what I was talking about and I just said that to you, if you had no idea about the show, and I was like, no, I watched an episode last night where a woman was saying that her daughter finally wanted to reconcile with her and she didn't care and she was just, you know, jacking off a cactus. Like, I would sound crazy, but it's like, mm-hmm. we don't even ever talk about that anymore because of, and this has all happened in the same season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same season, you know, just stroking that cactus.
When he's like, put it down. Your hands are like bleeding.
Like, and she's like, put the cactus down.
And Brittany's like, it's helping me right now.
Yeah, it's my. Yeah, it's a support system. It's like a therapy dog for her.
Let's do the final blurbs. Heather is loving her empty nest. Her kids came home at Christmas, but she liked it even more when they left. Lisa continues to claim she's a good listener. Wild Rose Beauty is back in Whitney's possession. Meredith is a DJ who's not being cheated on. Angie's still working on being Greek. Bronwyn is American. Mary uses her church as a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So more of this. No surprises.
No
really.
Surprises.
But Wild Rose is a little surprising. It's like, we're trying again.
I like when you're back in the MLM driver's seat. it's a cool business because like you just get some of your friends together and then you guys all like kind of build a business that it goes like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's communal.
Yeah. It's like a pinnacle mm-hmm. shape.
Yeah, like a pinnacle shape, right?
Pinnacle.
Right?
Yeah. Hail Santa. So then we've got the reunion coming up, which the trailer, the most explosive part is obviously that Andy gets so frustrated that he does his number one pet peeve and walks out of the reunion. No,
yeah.
I hope it's worth the moment.
Me too.
I hope it's, but I also feel like I believe in these women. Like I believe women and I believe these mm-hmm, women mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. I know that they'll deliver. I feel it. You know,
yeah,
they haven't done anything this season to make me feel like they won't. But I will say, like, okay, the Monica season, right? We had that crazy finale, and then when we had the reunion with Monica, I feel like she fell a little flat with that.
She blew it.
Yeah, she really did.
Yeah,
but I do think that Lisa and Angie will yell so much that Andy is like, I feel sick. I need a minute. Yeah.
Why are you two fighting when you know that everything you want is in front of each other? I have to leave.
Yeah, even though we intentionally seat everybody this particular way for ultimate conflict.
Yeah.
The loudest are the closest to him.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah. So let's ask a question that we actually asked at our live show last night too. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. our live watch
follow Tuesdays with Maury.
So what was your let's talk about the whole season. What was your Whitney Wild Rose of this season and what was your Whitney Wild Thorn of this season? Your rose and your thorn.
I think my Whitney Wild Rose was how like open Mary was with Robert Jr.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the shows are entertaining and conflict, I really do love when it's just like not about the conflict and about just like a crazy fucked up thing that's happening that nobody should be privy to.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate how vulnerable she was about, because every year just Mary just like is just a different character and I mean that in a good way. Like
yeah.
ever since when we first met her in season really one. She was funny. She started funny, but then obviously she fell off really quickly, so much so that she left the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when she came back, I was like, ugh, why? We already did that.
Yeah, I know. You don't seem to like it.
Yeah. And then just seeing like her journey through all of this was really great. And I honestly, mm-hmm. then just the superficial of it, I love all the trips they went on. It was really, I think it was a beautiful season to look at.
Yes, they got some good trips this year.
Finally not going to Milwaukee or like Arizona.
Or like San Diego.
Yeah.
And I guess the thorn of it, honestly, was just how stubborn, how intense Lisa was. Not very enjoyable for me this season to watch, even with all the conflict, to the point where I was just like, ugh, enough with this. Just like, it was so frustrating to watch, more so than I was entertained by her. And I started watching the series at the beginning as a huge fan of hers. And I just like, because I love just kind of, I still kind of love how delusional she is and all of that. And I love, because she said something like, I don't have anything to say because I'm great, when they were talking about the play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still funny like that, but I do think a lot of her conflicts were more frustrating to me to watch, to the point like her stuff just was not entertaining. It was more just like driving me into anger. Yeah. It was just like, I don't care how you're doing. You're doing it all wrong. I don't want to see this.
Yeah. So
that was probably the thorn of it, was just like one of my favorite characters becoming kind of just difficult to watch and enjoy.
Yeah,
I get that.
Because it wasn't as funny and great as it was an intense season.
It was an intense season for sure.
And especially, yeah, with both Meredith and Lisa, that it was like the first half of the season was coming to like a rock and a hard place with Lisa, everyone being like, apologize. And she's like, no.
Well,
and
then the second half was with Meredith. Lisa doesn't even go on that trip. She's like not doing the art.
Oh, that's completely.
Like, yeah, that was all that the was, same season. This was
in my
like,
in my brain, that's crazy. 10 seasons ago.
I know. And it was like 15 episodes.
So much happened.
Ago.
And like in the world, like,
it's I completely forgot we didn't start
that
with
Lisa. It was like so crazy. Just even trying to, for Mary trying to understand how to, she was like, would I put my Boca Burger on a stick and hold it into a fire? Amazing. But Lisa didn't show up to that. And I thought that was.
I completely forgot she wasn't even in there.
I was like, you're not going to be in the open, like the first episode of the season. I thought that was kind of, I didn't like that. I was like, that's kind of a D-roll move.
Yeah.
So I didn't love that for Lisa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this was the season of like the Lisa love kind of dwindling. But I will say like, yeah, it did kind of dwindle for me too. But then she would do things or she'd say things and I'd be like, you can't see that. It's like when your toddler, like, you know.
Yeah.
Does something fucked up, you know, and then you're like, I'm so mad at you. And then you're like, oh, I love you. You know, it's like when they're talking about leasing a horse. I thought that was so funny. She's like, yeah, I have a horse. It's just for me. You know, it's just for me. And I might get another one. And they were like, why would you get a second horse? And she's like, it's none of your fucking business. So funny.
So defensive about it.
It's the whole show is like an absurdist comedy. It really is like
truly.
This like, like Seinfeld. Like it's like I feel like I'm watching like the episode of Seinfeld sometimes where it's like, you know, it's like the woman who's only pretty in one booth or something. You know what I'm
talking? Oh my god, I just thought of something. They should just recut this season with no confessional so that like it looks like a scripted comedy drama.
I would love that. Honestly, like, and this is also my Rose, the episode where it's the tarot episode where they're all together and it's like
the bottle episode.
I feel like be done on stage like the women, the play. Like it's like I really feel like that is like it's gonna be done for sure. It's just a question if we get to it first.
We have to get Brittany Bateman.
Get out a pen and paper. Get the script down.
Yeah. Oh my god. And she's gonna make that a musical, and she should.
And she should.
And just I want to see that on stage. I want to see like the other women just like while somebody's getting their like tarot cards read, like the other person just like walking in the scene.
Yeah,
picking up like Angie Kate picking up that like that big
glasses
tub being returned to Lisa while somebody else is getting their tarot cards.
So she's like, oh, sorry, I just need to grab these boxes. No, keep talking. I just need to.
Sorry, I have to go. I have to return this toy horse to Lisa that she gave to my daughter as a gift.
Classic.
I really.
So Lauren, great season.
Norton, I don't know what your rose and thorn was. I just said
that was my rose. My thorn, I guess, was just really the back. I didn't notice it as much with the Lisa takedown in the front half because we had so many other plots going that it was like kind of repetitive. But in the back half, the way we really revisited the Meredith storyline every single episode. Yeah. I feel like they all did a great job with this season, but that didn't work for me. I feel like it became very repetitive.
Yeah, that was
the same fight with no resolution.
And as a viewer, it is confusing, right? Because it's like maybe she does have a problem, but one, we've never, and also just like the plane, we never saw any of that. So it's so hard to understand the level of anger, because the way that Meredith acted this season, I feel like this is how Meredith has always acted as a viewer, right? Like I don't see a difference in her behavior. So I don't know, but I think my rose, my Whitney Wild rose, honestly, not thinking about it, I think it probably was Brittany Bateman and that cactus. No thorns here.
All rose.
Yeah, I love that. All rose.
Yeah. A cactus rose in full bloom.
A cactus.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today on Bravo Breakdowns. Jay, thank you so much for being our guest. Where can people find you other than behind the scenes of The Voice?
Tune into The Voice next season, NBC, 23rd. Kelly Clarkson is back. We're really excited about that. But no, thank you guys so much for having me. Again, I met y'all by happenstance when I was visiting my hometown for the holidays, and it turned into this, and this has been so great. You can find me on Instagram. I don't have a podcast or anything. I just am guest on a lot of my friends' podcasts. So follow me on Instagram. It's at not Jay Reyna, and J-A-Y-R-E-Y-N-A, with the word not in front of it.
And we'll put the plug in our description as
cool.
well.
And then, yes, yeah, so I do have like podcast history. So also my friend shows, Kara, Liz Bentley, Troy McGeady. You guys know all of them. Those are all like friends of mine. So supporting them, supporting you guys is just all I want to do. So they always have me on.
Well, thank you so much for like doing this.
Thanks for your
support. Of course. It's like always, it's what's the bridesmaid's quote? Always a bridesmaid,
always a bridesmaid
never a bride.
Never a bride. Oh, I love
always
that.
A podcast.
Always a bridesmaid. Yeah, it's it was like Melissa McCarthy shitting in the sink. It's like lava.
It's like, yeah. That's the quote.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. I love talking about this.
Probably
with
what it felt like doing this podcast with us.
Like
shitting
lava.
That's what I've been doing this whole time. I've been doing it this whole time.
Well, you couldn't even tell. You're giving us some real Meredith Marks realness.
Just like. Like Melissa McCarthy, you deserve an Oscar nomination for your performance.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Bravo Breakdown.